is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Does God have a State of Our Union address, or at least an opinion? Does God have his own State of the Union address, or at least an opinion concerning the United States of America? It's an interesting question. It was brought on by a telephone call from one of our listeners, a regular listener, and he said that he felt that the Lord had spoken to him concerning our country after the State of Union address. And so he was reading to me over the phone some of that, what he felt was God's statement to him concerning our country and the State of the Union address. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just email it to me? Let me take a look at it. And so he did. And let me share a few excerpts with you. Woe, woe, woe unto America for anyone saved and lost who voted for Joe Biden. I, the Lord, will start to harden the general public who voted for this evil man like Pharaoh back in ancient Egypt. Judgment must start in the house of God. I, Jesus Christ, will pronounce Ichabod on any church that voted for innocent bloodshed, abortion, and letting criminals into this nation to kill innocent people. A radical pro-sodomite pervert agenda under the cloak of diversity. The lost general public in the blue states who voted for this evil man will be less receptive to the gospel and will be like the rich man who will not want to repent and will persecute true believers and the Jewish people when the time is right. So that is the sentence from heaven on America. Well, that's not my sentence, but that's the sentence coming from the viewpoint of that particular listener, who is a very serious listener to our program. And I dare say that there would be many listeners to this program who just heard that, who would say, you know what, that sounds pretty much right, pretty much right. But today on Viewpoint, as we talk about the aftermath of the State of the Union address, we're going to take a look at it much differently than the majority of the commentary that's taking place all over the country and perhaps around the world. A famous actor warns America of who was delivering the State of the Union. He said it's the worst person ever ensconced in the Oval Office. He is an angry, foul creature. Well, that came from James Woods. He explained that Biden would deliver the speech, all while dodging responsibility for the border catastrophe that is solely his doing. He will ignore the inflation crippling American families. He will blame the gang violence destroying America's cities on the fictitious white supremacy of heartland Americans. And he will do it with all the same forked tongue he has used to slither through half a century of politics, corruption, and lies. The worst person ever ensconced in the Oval Office. Again, I'm reading viewpoints. I'm sharing with you viewpoints that are coming across the country. On the other hand, we have, well, what some might say is a very favorable viewpoint. A very favorable viewpoint. It comes from an MSNBC show host. His name is Joseph Scarborough, a former member of Congress, and his comment, some call it a rant, declared that Biden has an awesome mental acuity. Those are his words. That came directly after commentator Britt Hume had bluntly said Biden is palpably senile. The question is, what do you believe? Do your lying eyes tell you anything? Do your actual eyes and mind tell you anything? Do they testify of any kind of truth? But again, we're not here to talk about politics per se. The State of the Union address is historically to be a State of the Union address. In other words, an address considering and helping the American people to understand the broader perspectives concerning the condition of the country. Well, what would you look at? What would you be interested in knowing the condition of the country? Let's suppose that you were looking at it from an economist's viewpoint. What would you focus on? Well, you would focus, like Bill Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. Well, what if you were looking at defense? Then, if you were a military man, you would be looking through the eyes of defense, national defense and military. Let's so say you were looking at it through the eyes of a lawyer. You would be looking at it then through law and whether or not we're following the laws. If you were looking at it from the standpoint of a criminologist or a law enforcement officer, you would be looking at it through his eyes to look at what the condition of the country is with regard to law and order, crime, and so on, wouldn't you? But what if you were a pastor? Then how would you look at it? Well, the problem is that we have become so accustomed to looking at the State of the Union and our country from secular eyes that we just don't seem to have very much spiritual vision anymore. But God does. So that's what caught my attention regarding our listener who was talking about God's State of the Union address. What would God be looking at? Well, he wouldn't be looking at the economy in particular. He'd be looking at issues as to why the economy was the way it was. What's going on with regard to the decisions of government and we the people with regard to the attitudes and actions? With regard to the matter of our law enforcement, he would be looking at the honesty and integrity of law enforcement and whether the laws that were being passed and obeyed by our government were righteous and holy, and whether the government was actually enforcing those laws for the protection of the citizens, wouldn't he? If God is interested in nations, then he would be interested in whether or not the monies and efforts regarding national defense were being used righteously and appropriately to protect the borders of the country. And, of course, he would be interested in borders because God himself ordained borders. It's God who actually set forth the borders and the order of borders and defied humankind not to follow borders because he actually destroyed and disassembled the people at the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11, who were trying to eliminate borders and get everybody together to say and vote the same thing. You see, there are different viewpoints. What viewpoint would you have? Today, we're going to take a look at the very same issues, but we're going to see things from a little bit different perspective. Remember, viewpoint does determine destiny. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
But what about the issue of children? As we look at the State of the Union address, what about the issue of children? Does God have any interest in children? Now, we should, if we're civilized human beings, and particularly if we're followers of Jesus Christ, or even if we're Jews and believe what the Bible says in the Old Testament about life. For it's God who gives us life. And it's God who gives us children. The Bible says that blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. Yes, I'm quoting the scripture. So God is interested in that issue, and he also is interested from the standpoint of those who take life casually, whether it has to do with killing a living human being, which God decreed a death penalty for because it's attacking someone made in God's image. But how about children? Well, apparently God was not happy with the children of Israel that adopted, began to practice the offering of their children to Molech, as did the pagan nations around them. And so he brought prophets to deride them, to warn them that judgment would come upon Israel if they didn't get this matter under control and stop their killing of their babies and offering them to Molech. Well, apparently, America doesn't see that as a problem, or at least many in America don't see that as a problem. One headline says a Biden opts to skip over the word abortion during the State of the Union. He failed to mention the word abortion during his State of the Union speech, in spite of the fact that it was in his prepared remarks. He didn't want to use the word. Why didn't he want to use the word? Well, because it's a trigger word. And he was about politics. He wasn't about truth. He wasn't about life. He wasn't about seeing life from God's viewpoint. He wasn't even about seeing politics from God's viewpoint. He was about power politics. What do I have to say or not say in order to try to get elected? And so he declined to use the word abortion. So what did he do? He came at it a different way. He argued, clearly those bragging about the overturning of Roe versus Wade have no clue about the power of women in America. So was Biden's omission of the word abortion deliberate? I think so. He went on to say, they found out, though, when reproductive freedom was on the ballot. Notice he used the word reproductive freedom. He changed the language, doesn't want to call it abortion because that means killing. So now he's going to reframe it as freedom, reproductive freedom. And he says, now in 2024, if Americans send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you I will restore Roe versus Wade as the law of the land again. Well, how's he going to do that? The Supreme Court's already ruled it unconstitutional. In other words, he actually threatened the Supreme Court in an oblique kind of way. So another article comes out and says, Biden threatens Supreme Court over abortion ruling. Following in the footsteps of Senator Chuck Schumer, who earlier publicly threatened members of the U.S. Supreme Court, Joe Biden took the same approach during his politicized State of the Union speech. He said, with all due respect, justices, addressing the justices sitting right in front of him, women are not without electrical power. Oh, excuse me, electoral or political power. And you're about to realize it. So he threatened the Supreme Court with saying somehow we're going to choreograph women in our country to completely overturn the Supreme Court and its ruling concerning the Constitution. He said, many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. Then he made this comment, my God, what freedoms will you take away next? You know, when I heard that, I thought, you know, that really is his God. His God is freedom defined as doing what I want no matter what God says. In other words, he and those who reject the authority of God with him are their own gods. My God, what freedoms will you take away next? God's not going to take the freedom away. God never gave him the freedom in the first place. It was usurped by humankind in Roe versus Wade in 1973 without any constitutional or legal justification whatsoever. So it was well understood ever since 1973 that that act by the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade was subject to being overturned eventually because it had no legal foundation. That's why it got overturned. But if humankind, including Joe Biden, and those of his anti-God haters, those who reject the authority of God and his word, then they become gods in and of themselves. And therefore, they not only become gods in and of themselves, they become independent dictators. What do we need a Supreme Court for? Humankind has become supreme. Individuals have become supreme. We don't need any checks and balances in our government. We just need a dictatorship of the majority, which he calls democracy. Are you beginning to get the bigger picture here? Oh, and it doesn't end there. There's so many things, friends, as we take a look at the State of the Union address from a heavenly viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint. No, I'm not God. But I'm sharing with you the viewpoints that God may have as revealed in his word. We need to do that. Normally, a State of the Union address is relatively nonpartisan, and it certainly isn't a campaign speech. But many commentators have concluded that Joe Biden's State of the Union address was simply a campaign speech. He boasted about things he hasn't accomplished and deliberately attacked his likely opponent, along with huge numbers of the American people that support him. Daniel Greenfield, an investigative journalist, commented about this. He said this was not a State of the Union address. It was a fascistic campaign rally of the kind that's been he's been getting in for years, declaring war on Trump, Republicans, and all political opponents. Well, regardless of whether you have an R or a D behind your name, you would have to see, if you're honest, that that's what he did. It wasn't a State of the Union address. Because if it was a State of the Union address, then he would have given us the State of the Union, which he did not. He did not give us the State of the Union, because if he had given us the State of the Union, it would not have been a pretty picture. So he didn't give us the State of the Union. He used it as a political diatribe on those that he opposed. So let's take a look at, we were talking about the abortion issue. So let's take a look at the implications of that. Again, we're talking about the State of the Union now. This article just came out. Birth rate drops as psychologists are worried for the future of their profession. Now, regardless of what you think about psychology, that's not the point here. The point here is, why are the birth rates dropping? America is declining. Remember, we're giving a State of the Union address now. America's declining birth rate over the past two decades has the American Psychological Association worried about the future of the profession. Fewer children means fewer college students will be pursuing careers in psychology, thus threatening the quality of education and training in psychological research and patient care, they said. Scholars predict a steep drop in college admissions starting next year, according to the article. They're not just talking about a drop in college admissions, friends. They're talking about a drop in college admissions because of a drop in the birth rate. That's what's important to know. The Democratic cliff is the result of a significant drop in the birth rate that began with the 2008 recession, and those missing babies would have been approaching college age next year if they had been born. Well, What's missing in this discussion is the fact that the majority of those babies that would have been born were aborted. Nobody wants to mention that. So in other words, it's the law of unintended consequences that is now seriously impairing the very future and existence of the country. The same thing is happening in Europe. The same thing is happening in China. You know, China had the one-child policy for many, many years, and now they're in deep trouble. They have an excess of men, a vast excess of men. There are no women to marry because they were all killed in abortions. America is now missing vast numbers of children who not only would have entered college, but who would have been productive citizens and who would have met the statistical expectations of those who had planned, for instance, for Social Security. Oh, so the Social Security system is in danger, not just because of actions of Congress, per se, but because of abortion in this country that has killed off almost 70 million of America's babies. Just think what would have happened if they had been born and would have entered the workplace by now and would have been working and contributing to the overall welfare and condition of the country. Social Security wouldn't be in trouble. Are you beginning to get the picture? If we don't actually report on the real state of the union, we're lying to the people. We're deceiving the people intentionally. We just tell them what we think they want to hear. And that's what's happening in our pulpits, my friends. The same thing is happening in many, if not most, of our pulpits in one way or another. Pastors telling the people what they want to hear. In other words, not telling them the things that they don't want to hear. You see, you can preach the truth, but not preach the whole truth. There are things you don't want to touch, because you know that if you touch those things, it might cost your election, or it might cost your building program, or it might cost you your reputation, or it might cost, in other words, there is a cost to discipleship, isn't there? So if we really want to look at the state of the union, we would also want to look at the spiritual state of the union, wouldn't we? And to look at the spiritual state of the union, we could well look at the behavior of Americans and what is causing them to kill their children. And so we have another interesting article that fits right into the story. This just came out today from the Associated Press. More black women say abortion is their top issue in 2024 election. Now, it's always been a big issue for black women. We'll talk about why that is. But this is an article coming from the Associated Press, my friends. Would you be interested to know what it says? This is about political consequences to moral and spiritual behavior, or the lack thereof. The spiritual state of the union. Maybe that's what we should call this today. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
The spiritual state of the union, that's what we really need to know. Because if we know the spiritual state of the union, it will reveal so many other things in our country that we should know about, even though we don't want to really know about them, because it reflects upon who we are. Who are we as a people? We the people. You see, our government is a government of we the people. And the State of the Union, in my opinion, should not just be about political issues. It should be about the real state of the Union. And the real state of the Union, if you were to go back to our original founders, would be morally and spiritually based. It wouldn't be politically based. And that's why our second president, John Adams, said our government was made for a moral and Christian people, and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So if we reveal the state of the union with regard to whether or not we're a moral and Christian people, it will tell us almost everything that we need to know about the echoing consequences in our society that have political implications. And that's what nobody wants to talk about. Everybody just wants to get in the echo chamber of so-called political facts and banter back and forth, and it goes nowhere and accomplishes nothing because it doesn't pierce our hearts. So God's viewpoint on a nation is very different than the way we would tend to look at it in the natural. Just if you want to find out what God's viewpoint on a nation is, just go back to Israel in the Old Testament and find out what he had the prophets say to Israel. And you'll find out. Are they keeping the Sabbath holy? No. So God says, you're not doing that? You're going to take 70 years in Babylon because you refuse to give the land a Sabbath. I'm going to take 10 times that 7 years period. I'm going to take 10 of those, and you're going to go to Babylon for 70 years. That's what God said. It was his State of the Union evaluation and address for Israel. The same was true of abortion or offering their children to Molech. The same was regarding their treating of the poor. Speaking of the treating of the poor, it's quite amazing because the address last night, Joe Biden says, you know, we're really handling the southern border. He signed enough executive orders, many executive orders, initiatives that were designed to curb illegal immigration, including halting, building a wall at the southern border, and allowing illegal immigrants to enter the United States while applying for asylum rather than waiting in other countries for the several years it takes to actually get a court determination on whether asylum will be granted. He took all of those barriers away. In other words, Biden didn't just create the border crisis, he actually invited it. So he's lying through his teeth. He's trying to play to an ungodly base that tries to, shall we say, gin up their salvation by doing good works, or what they perceive to be good works, letting in hordes of people across the border. They have no idea who they are, what they believe, what their agenda is. They have no idea, but they're going to let them come in. They are despisers of law. I'm not talking about the illegal immigrants. They also. But the people that are supporting them are despisers of law. In other words, they are lawless. And Biden is the leader. He is a lawless president. He despises the law. And Mayorkas, who is carrying out as his henchman to do this despising, to take care of the acts, to despise and neglect the law, is actually not helping these people, but hurting them and using them in a new form of Democrat form slavery to take dominion over their lives and make them eternally subject to the Democrat Party. Now, friends, that is wickedness. It's slavery under another name. You see, the motivations of the heart are just as important to God as are the actions. But let's go back. We were talking about more black women say abortion is their top issue in the 2024 election. What's that about? More than a quarter of female black voters describe abortion as their top issue in this year's presidential election. Now, why did the Associated Press bring this up? The findings signal a significant shift from previous election years when white women evangelicals were more likely to peg abortion as their biggest priority when voting. So why are black women more interested in this? According to one pollster, it's a complete shift. Abortion voters are young black women. What's going on here? Well, 28% of black women, 19% of them live in states where abortion was banned. What's the problem? It's sexual promiscuity, my friends. That's the problem. This is a testimony to sexual promiscuity within the black community. The fornicating, the adultery is so prominent. Did you know? There is a reason why. 70% approximately of all black children that come out of the womb are born without fathers in the home, illegitimately. In other words, through promiscuity. 70%. But did you also know that the highest rate of abortion among any people group in America is in the black community? 50% approximately. In other words, the situation is far worse in terms of sexual promiscuity than you could ever possibly imagine. Sexual promiscuity has been inaugurated as a way of life in the black community. Ever since 1964 with the Civil Rights Act, that's when the turn took place. You can argue as to how it happened and why it happened, but I'm giving you the facts. The State of the Union. Some people will say, well, Haven't we approved a lot in our health? Well, I don't recall Joe Biden saying anything about the real health in our country. He tried to talk about the economic health, and that didn't work really well, because this article just came out saying we're on a track for a $37 trillion deficit by the end of this year, $40 trillion by the end of next year. A prominent Wharton professor is warning of a meltdown as early as 2025 as debt swamps financial markets. Did you hear that coming for the State of the Union address? No. Why? Because they're going to spend all the money that they want to spend, which means printing more money in order to spend more money to try to seduce more voters to keep the same corrupt people in office in order to support a godless agenda, a lawless agenda. Notice, this isn't about Republicans and Democrats in and of itself. I haven't even been mentioning Republicans and Democrats. Have you noticed that? I haven't even mentioned left and right. It's not necessary. All you have to do is look at the facts. The facts declare the truth. And birds of a feather always flock together. If you embrace these godless ideas, those who embrace them will flock together, and they form a party. You decide what to call it. If you want to call it the party of lawlessness, you can do that. If you want to call it the party of sexual promiscuity, you can do that. You can call it the blue states. Where do you think the term blue states and red states came from? It's just another way of designating those states that tend to be God-fearing states and law-abiding states as to those that are not, that have another agenda. It's not that difficult to understand. But speaking of health, or the lack thereof, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control has again announced a health care crisis that is surging in America. Did you hear Joe Biden talk about this last night? This is his own Center for Disease Control. And the facts are stark and threatening. I'm not making this up. This came out today. What do you think the crisis involves? Is it AIDS? Is it COVID? No. I'll tell you what it is when we get back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismar. Our viewpoint concerning our country, concerning those that we elect to lead our country, whether locally, whether nationally, whether as states, cities, and so on, are determining the destiny of America. But behind that, friends, they're not the ones really doing it. You and I are. we the people are. Because they would not be in office if we hadn't elected them. If we the people had not elected them. So, if we want to look at the State of the Union, we have to first look at the state of the American citizen. What is our moral and spiritual state? It's like Robert Winthrop there in the early 1800s said, we will either be guided, governed by a power within or by a power without, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. So the more immoral we are, the more lawless we are, the more government imposes itself upon us to control our lawless and chaotic behavior. That's how it works. That's why John Adams said our government was made for a moral and Christian people and wholly inadequate to the government of any other. The fear of the Lord has to be the foundation. And if someone were truly a Christian leader, he would actually, I think, would refer to that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the abandonment of the fear of the Lord is loss of wisdom, and you lose the wisdom, and guess what happens? The echoing consequences of the degeneration of your country. So what might that look like? Well, the CDC has announced a new healthcare crisis. It's called syphilis. After the 1940s, syphilis almost disappeared until the turn of the 21st century. In other words, about the year 2000. Now the problem has surged dramatically. In 2000, there were only 32,000 cases of syphilis. In 2022, that had spiraled to more than 207,000. And the reasons are not all medical. In fact, the CDC has adopted so many cultural ideas and explanations, for things medical that it's very hard to find out what the truth really is. They did the same thing with COVID. They lied to us about COVID. They lied to us about the so-called vaccines, which they had to finally admit were not vaccines. So they had to change the definition of vaccine to keep, in order to justify, keep calling them vaccines, which they still are not. Even though the medical profession keeps touting them as vaccines. So what about this syphilis thing? Well, the report from the CDC says that the crisis is especially affecting pregnant people and their babies. Pregnant people. You mean women? Oh, they won't use the term women because they've now justified that men can become pregnant because that's politically correct within their new lawless and godless viewpoint. So, they've introduced woke ideas into medicine that have nothing to do with medicine. Accompanying this designation of pregnant people is the acceptance, listen to this, the acceptance of the promiscuous lifestyles and practices that favor the spread of syphilis. There it is. And what makes this illness so devastating is that pregnant women, not people, can pass the syphilis infection to their babies in the womb. So promiscuous women pass along this horrific disease that causes miscarriage, stillbirth, blindness, premature birth, severe post-birth health problems, or even death. Over 3,700 babies were born with syphilis in 2022, 10 times more than just 10 years before. What's happening? It's obvious, friends. It's sexual promiscuity. Growing, not receding, but growing. In the land of the free, that's becoming only the home of the brave. There used to be a social stigma attached to the disease where people sensed the immoral aspect of their behavior. Fear of shame also had its role in controlling the highly contagious disease. But these healthy fears, including the fear of the Lord, help people avoid the occasions of risk and lower the number of syphilis cases. No longer. Both policy and the abandonment of the fear of the Lord, no longer the same sense of public morality or the religious notion of sin that condemns sexual promiscuity. Sexual relationships now outside of marriage are now mainstream. Even the clergy and civil leaders refuse to warn the society about it. Does this not sound like a major issue concerning the state of the union? Why will not Joe Biden talk about it? Because the majority of the people, or massive numbers of the people that vote for him, are guilty as sin on the issue. That's why. A lot of people will say, well, I want to do some fact-checking on what Mr. Biden said during the address. Well, I have a big report here about fact-checking, but we're not going to go into that, because that leads us astray from our focus here today. The real state of the union is the spiritual state of the union that is reflected in all of the other things that people want to focus on and talk about. Therefore, before we go further, I want to make my book, Renewing the Soul of America, available to you. $18 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. If you want to find out how to recover the state of the union from God's viewpoint, you just might want to get a copy of that book, Renewing the Soul of America. One person at a time, beginning with you. That's why 38 national Christian leaders endorsed it, because they saw it as dramatically different. It wasn't all about power politics anymore. It was about the real issues that are driving everything else. You want to have a vision for hope for the future? Something real out there other than just political jangling and jabbering that goes nowhere? Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. $15 on our website, saveus.org, or call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, it's fascinating that the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, that's supposed to be dealing with the enemies out there, now is deciding to try to do what the FBI was supposed to be doing internally. In other words, they want to focus on internal terrorism. But the problem is, what does the Department of Defense and the Pentagon, given its leadership appointed by a godless president, putative president, Joe Biden, what kind of people are making these decisions? Shifting the focus from national defense, from our weapons, enemies abroad, to finding enemies in our country. Even while the same president is receiving them without inspection across our border by the millions. What's going on here? Well, the focus is on how you define terrorism and who supposedly is a terrorist. You see, from the Biden administration's viewpoint, a terrorist is anyone who strongly disagrees with their viewpoint. they, by definition, are the enemies of democracy because they don't agree with Joe Biden and his focus on freewheeling sex, freewheeling killing of your babies, freewheeling transgenderism, freewheeling whatever. It's all freewheeling. So now you understand why, in his address, Joe Biden actually supported transgenderism. In effect, I'm going to be your great protector. I'm going to be the one that is going to give you the greatest freedom you have ever had. Here's his words. He suggested that the proposed Equality Act represents a protection of fundamental rights. So I want, this is a quote, I want to protect other fundamental rights, pass the Equality Act, and my message to transgender Americans, I have your back. So he's saying, I have the back of those that God says are an abomination. Homosexuality and transgenderism, I have your back and I'm your man. Also, he came against book banning. Well, it wasn't so much book banning, but he urged Americans to stop denying another core value of America, our diversity, he said. So he said banning books is an example of such denial. What was he talking about? He's talking about restricting sexually explicit materials in school libraries, which many of his cohorts are calling book banning. These are the things that are advancing the cause of LGBTQ, all of those, including transgenderism, to enable and facilitate our school children, your children, to adopt these practices that are radically contrary to God's word, will, and ways. He himself declared that he is the great promoter of that which God says is an abomination in his sight. And the Pentagon, now promoting a new focus on terrorism, not against Islamic terrorism, but against Christians or conservative people who refuse to buy into his agenda. And if they talk about it, if they do a program about it, if they write about it, if they do anything on X or Facebook or anything else, they are by definition now terrorists, and they must be focused on by the Department of Defense and by the FBI and by the CIA. In other words, he is against real spiritual liberty. No wonder. Another article says we need an outsider to come in and take a look at America's rapid, perilous decline. That's the headline. Do you agree? Or disagree? You see, the spiritual state of the union is an entirely different thing. I hope you can see that. We try to connect the dots here in ways that nobody else seems to really talk about on Viewpoint, because our viewpoint does determine destiny. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. Become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Friends, we're daring to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home. From God's eternal perspective, not the Republican Party, not the Democrat Party, or any other party. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.